My name is Matt Milner, and this is Locals Only. And with that, we are ready to send it over to Studio 2A. Really excited to have my guests this week, Mute Swan, celebrating the release of their new album, Feel How It Sees. The release show is going to be Friday night over at Club Congress. So without further ado, live in Studio 2A, here is Mute Swan. tuned in to 91.3 KXCI Tucson. My name's Matt Miller. This is Locals Only, and I'm live in Studio 2A with Mute Swan. How's it going tonight, guys?
Going good, yeah.
It's great.
All right, so why don't we start off with introductions? We'll go around the room, let us know who you are, what you're doing tonight.
I'm Tom. I play guitar.
My name is Prabjeet. I play bass and sing.
I'm Mike Barnett. I play guitar and sing.
And my name's Roger, and I play the drums.
All right, so tell me a little bit about the history of Mute Swan. When did you guys first get together?
Well, the way that it really started was myself, Mike Barnett, I started playing with Prabjeet and Tom's band, which was called Peaks. Mm-hmm. And I guess that was about a year and a half ago. And I was just sitting in on drums for them because I really liked their songs. And then I wanted to start writing some music with them, but I'm more of a guitar player, so mm-hmm. I had been playing with Roger and my previous band, Mombasa, and I just pulled him over from that band and made it so that we could all make music together.
Yeah. So between Peaks and Mombasa, what would you say is the kind of musical alchemy that occurred to create Mute Swan? What aspects of each of those bands were you pulling into this one?
I feel like it was a mix.
Definitely the idea of the psychedelic was coming from both bands, but Peaks had a different take on it, definitely.
Guitars and ambient elements.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in coming together, how did you approach songwriting as a band? Is that something that early on was one person more taking the lead, or has it been sort of collaborative throughout its history?
We were strangely structural about it. We developed this plan for multiple phases of how the songs were going to come together. The first phase was that we were going to get used to playing with each other as a four-piece by playing cover songs. We weren't even going to start writing the songs yet.
Interesting.
And so we each picked one song that we wanted to cover, sort of this is what I think that we could play well together. And then we learned it, and then we did those four songs.
Uh-huh.
And got that out of the way. And then we started just bringing different songs to the table that we thought might work. And then we ended up writing and then throwing out a lot of songs before we found a few that worked. And then all the stuff that's on the album came after at least a dozen tunes that we threw out for a year.
Yeah.
I'm curious, going back to the beginning, what were the four cover songs that you picked as the kind of DNA of Mute Swan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mine was, I think, Sun Lips by Black Moth Super Rainbow.
Uh-huh.
I chose Sunday Afternoon by the Black Angels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mine was, it was an Unknown Mortal Orchestra, but it was a cover. It was like an instrumental jam. I can't remember the name of it.
Lindstorm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That was the artist.
Yeah, mine was Closer Than You Know How by Maserati, often EP. Really old.
Some solid post-rock.
Yeah, post-rock.
So tell me about, how did that exercise inform what came next? You know, when you started writing original songs and culling through that to put together what's on the album, you know, was that a process that you would repeat again in other bands? Because it's something that sort of intuitively makes sense. Mm-hmm. Did you guys find that it worked for you?
Yeah. I mean, having to do those four songs and I'm trying to think, you know, and if you're not familiar with that style, they were like, maybe three different styles, or maybe four different styles in all. Mm-hmm. And so just having to adjust and listen to each other. And then in writing songs, you know, besides all of us, all the guitar players here like understanding loopers mm-hmm. and how to work on their own, but also to give up your like your pet ideas to the band, and you know, and they'll say, well, you know, why don't we just stay on one chord mm-hmm. and not do five, or why you know why don't we do this kind of form mm-hmm. for the same.
Yeah, it was definitely a practice in getting like an idea for like a cohesive style.
Sure.
Like if we took like Black Moth Super Rainbow, like all the each ingredients, it's like into a specific style. So that was good for us to get an idea of like just that cohesion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also then to be able to let go. So a lot of the other things we listened to. Would just be, way out in left field. Uh-huh. But we'll think, look what they're doing on stage, or look how this sounds, or how do we use our voices like they did?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like from everything that you've described, and I mean this in the best way, that the creation and early stages of this band was something that was very calculated. It was something that was done with, the goal of being able to really build something that would be meaningful and unique and represent what you guys want to play. So, you know, tell me a little bit about sort of that next stage. As you started culling through the songs, you said that there are, you know, a dozen or so songs that didn't make the cut for this album. You know, how did you approach that process of trying to figure out? Because there are five songs that are on the album, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, working down from almost, three times that many to what we have, in my hand right now, did you have a sense at the outset of that process of, you know, what you wanted the final product to sound like, or was that sort of a fine-tuning process as you went along?
No, I wouldn't even... Yeah, we didn't know from the outset. I think it was just we would bring in songs, and then we would try to learn them, and then they would sort of dead-end at some point, like we couldn't, like... get them to go, but then we started bringing in songs that were like felt really easy to put together, and we were really excited about, and we were listening to rough recordings of later, so it was pretty easy to tell which ones we wanted to end up keeping.
Yeah, that's been helpful to record rehearsals.
Has that been a practice that you've had in place more or less since the beginning?
Definitely.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, Tom always has his cell phone recording like entire practices.
Voice memos.
Until somebody sends him a text. Yeah. And it just
pauses.
Cancels.
Also, the amount of change the songs go through, or that they've gone through after the recording, is important. I think, future songs and the way that we're going to approach a song as it comes to recording will be as dynamic as when it leaves recording and goes to the stage, so that we'll survive. We won't, be eaten alive.
Well, before we get into the next set, I just want to remind everybody that Friday night is the album release show at Congress. What time does everything get started?
9:00.
Nine o'clock.
All right. So you can check them out on Friday. Is there a place for folks to find you online?
We just released one song. Is that what you mean? Like to be able to listen to us? Or
Both that and also just to keep track of what you're up to, upcoming shows, website or Facebook, anything like that?
The best place is Facebook,
okay.
I think.
Yeah, and we have a mailing list as well. But it's very, I don't know how to say, like...
VIP.
Sure, but it's also that, just email us at muteswan@gmail.com. We'll put you on the list.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And then we'll let you know before everyone else about things.
Excellent. All right, well, why don't we get into our next set here? You're listening to Mute Swan on Locals Only on 91.3 KXEI Tucson. And we've got another set here.
Thank you.
You're tuned in to 91.3 KXEI Tucson. This is Locals Only. My name's Matt Milner, and I'm live in Studio 2A with Mute Swan. Thanks again for coming down tonight, guys.
Oh, thanks, Matt, for having
you.
Us.
All right. So during our first break, we talked about the songwriting process. We talked about the origins of the band, and we alluded to the process of making the record, but I'd like to talk about that in a little more depth. So when did you start the recording process?
I guess it was last summer.
It's like the start of summer, and then everyone submits their schedules, and it ends up being the end of summer.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So, what was the approach? I know that you recorded a lot of the album, right, Mike?
Yeah, almost all of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did everything except for the drums, which we went to Jim Waters at Waterworks.
So what was the order of operations?
I ended up recording all of my guitars first. I think almost all of them as like a guideline. Mm-hmm. And I did like some scratch tracks for stuff that just needed to like, you know, to know where we were. Mm-hmm. And then I think I did all of Tom's before he went on tour with Burning Palms in the summer. So he quickly did all of his. And then I sat down with, or did you do him after the drums? I think you did him before the drums.
Before, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Before.
Yeah, so the drums were like pretty much last. I think maybe I did the vocals after, but it was like definitely one at a time kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And was it mostly everybody kind of coming in, doing their parts on their own, or were all of you together while people were putting down their parts and kind of giving input and you know, engaged in that part of the process as well?
It was mostly one-on-one. Like, yeah, you might have sat in for a couple of Tom's things. Or,
yeah.
But
everyone came to see the drums.
That's true.
Everyone came and made the trip down.
That was a fun day.
Yeah, it was.
So, Roger, you can be honest with us. Having the drums have to come in at the end, did you learn when you had to do your parts whether Mike had actually kept time while he was recording the scratch tracks for everything?
It was kind of strange. I was playing with all the tracks and a metronome, so so everything was pretty much in time. There wasn't any goof-ups, but I wasn't used to recording like that with everything done.
Yeah, actually, the way we did the Mombasa album before was drums were the first track, which was pretty crazy, because so Roger was playing with just a click and just had remembered the whole songs.
Wow.
And just was playing off of nothing.
Which was also really weird. Like one extreme to the other. No in between.
Yeah. So you recorded the drums with Jim Waters, and then how did all the pieces come together after that?
Well, probably the key thing is my uncle gave me this really nice recording software for my computer, and then once I had that, it was really easy to make stuff sound good, and everything was fitting together. The drums are definitely the hardest part.
Sure.
But that was probably the key to that, and then I just spent hours and hours like staring at my computer and just like, you know, going over every little like detail, like lining stuff up for just hours of just, you know, very tedious stuff, but I think it was worth it.
And for most of the songs on the album, did you have just, you know, tracks for each one of the instruments and vocals? Were you doing a lot of overdubs and other sort of non-instrument tracks and sounds and that kind of thing as well? Or how did that work out at the end?
Like auxiliary
sounds?
Yeah. We did a sample. We threw a sample in there of somebody talking. And then there were some. Roger came over to do tambourines one night, and then I did some like clicky stuff on like a rim of a tom drum or something for one of them. Little stuff like that definitely happened.
And then were there guitar overdubs as well, or was it mostly just the two guitars that we would hear live?
No, like actually for that last song, the way Tom and I recorded that was like each phrase of the guitar line was just a take.
Oh.
Because the way that he does the delay stuff is, I don't know, maybe you can explain
it
that.
Had, like, it had a weird way of, like, bleeding over. Uh-huh. It would sound kind of weird, like, on the song, like, it kind of, like, chops off really abruptly. Huh. And so, like, that was...
Yeah, like the...
It was easier to do that in, like, multiple takes instead of doing it all in one.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, like, the delay, like, builds up and then cuts off really abruptly, which was hard to do, like, over and over again in one take, so we just did them all separately. So that song took a long time.
Yeah.
So how did you approach that challenge of, you know, you've got a sound that obviously live incorporates... you know, a lot of effects, incorporates the delay, and you know, the nature of some of those effects is that it's never going to sound exactly the same any two times. There's some inherent kind of variability in that. So what was the process as you were trying to capture it live, figure out what you wanted the record itself to sound like? Did you have a kind of platonic sense in your head of like, okay, this is what I want the guitar on this song to sound like? Or were you, you know, just working it out, piecing it together, and then you ended up where you ended up?
I guess at the time we recorded them, that's, like, how I imagined all the guitar, like, effects sounding. But, like, mm-hmm. we finished that, like, quite a while ago. So now, like, it's, like, every, like, effect is, like, a different take now. Play, yeah. like, totally different than it sounds on the album, uh-huh. which is
yeah.
cool.
For yeah. me, I have, yeah, twice as many pedals. Mm-hmm. just to for eventualities.
Just to fit in with everybody just, else, right?
yeah, just to know, you know, okay, is this a time that it could use less or more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go.
But also, we did have all the live versions of the songs before we started recording.
Right.
I think when we did start tracking the things, I was definitely listening for, like I don't care if this is the way we do it live. Let's figure out the way to, like, make it sound the best.
Yeah.
Regardless of how we do it live. And I think we like how a lot of other bands... have like two separate versions of the song. There's the live yeah. version of the song, and then there's the studio version. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to have those two.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So folks, if they want to be able to hear the live version, they can come out on Friday, and then they yeah. can drive home and listen to the studio version after they pick up a copy of the album. Who else do you have on the bill on Friday night?
The Mirrors, locally here, uh-huh. Are opening up. And Corners from L.A. will be coming through town.
Excellent. And they're on Lollipop, right?
Yeah. Lollipop Records.
Very cool. So that's Friday night, Congress. Folks can find information, the Mute Swan Facebook page as well. There's some stuff up on Bandcamp. Friday, you'll have the album available for sale physically as a CD. Is that the plan?
Mm. Yeah, yep. And Prav's got some little goodies, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I mean,
I hope so.
I mean, what I've done is for, you know, the art that you uh-huh. see
yeah.
associated with this album was done by Sathya Honey. Mm-hmm. And she did double exposure film photography. Mm. And so... You know, it's something that I thought was very important to, like, have an artistic process for the photos as well, mm. just like for our songs.
Yeah.
In the first 36 copies bought through Bandcamp, mm-hmm. it will have a film photograph in each one.
Oh, very cool.
And, you know, those might be things that only that person will see.
Very cool. All right, so an excuse to check out the Bandcamp, and you can pre-order on there. Before we get into our last set, I'd be remiss not to mention that, you know, there's a lot of really great gear in this room. The one thing that stands out the most is what appears to be an Austin Powers VHS.
Did you tell him?
What's the story behind that?
Well, you see, my vocal pedal isn't tall enough for me to get behind. Like, if I put it just on the floor and I have to do too much, like, I can't point my toes. Mm-hmm. It's too awkward, so I need the elevation. And
Come on, Mike, it's just groovy.
Yeah, this is, yeah, you know, it's a great movie.
Yeah, and a great pedal stand. So
yeah, right. it's definitely become part of the rig.
So Mute Swan, Friday night. You can check him out on Bandcamp. Check him out on Facebook. Go out to Club Congress on Friday night, and they'll be performing live with the new album. They're going to play a couple more here for us, and then we'll send it over to the Hub and Bob Girth from 10 to midnight. Thanks for listening to Locals Only. My name's Matt. Here's Mute Swan playing us out.
breathing.